rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I greet you all with a universal greeting of peace. On behalf of Radio Islam International, Jamiat al-Ulama South Africa and ITV Networks, I welcome all the party representatives, the supporters, and all of you who have taken out the time to attend the program this evening. I would also like to welcome the Radio Islam International listeners, as well as the ITV viewers. Municipal elections will be taking place on the 3rd of August, which will be the most fiercely contested elections in the history of our young democracy. In the past 22 years of our democracy, we've had a number of elections. Now, there are two types of elections that we have in South Africa. The first is the national and provincial elections, and the second is municipal elections. In the national and provincial elections, voters vote for a political party proportionate to the number of votes the political party receives. That is how many members that political party will have in parliament. In parliament, that political party then formulates rules and carry out rules in the country. The parliament is led by the speaker and the government is led by the president of the country. In municipal elections, you vote for a political party as well as a ward councillor. The duty of the ward councillor is to provide for you basic services ranging from water and electricity to sanitation and eradication of crime. Our elections will be taking place on the 3rd of August, which are the municipal elections. Now, what makes municipal elections different from the national elections is, in the national elections, you vote for a political party, the party deploys their individuals to parliament, and those individuals report to the bosses of the party. While in the municipal elections, you select and vote the individual who you'd like to have serve you. So, my dear viewers, listeners, and all present, these individuals that you will be voting for, these are the very individuals that are accountable to you, and therefore you need to be very careful as to who you choose to represent you. Before we set off, I'd like to give you an overview of our program for this evening. We've divided it into two segments. In the first segment, I will be presenting, and I will give the party members the opportunity in 2 minutes to tell us what is the gist of their manifesto and why should you be voting for them. After we've gone through the 7 representatives, then followed by that, we'll have another round in which party members will be questioned on their presentation. They'll be given a maximum period of 1 minute. So for the first round, they'll be given 2 minutes, and for the second round, 1 minute. We have Mulana Habib Bobat, who's on the stage, and he has the clock with him. So once the time expires, we will then terminate your presentation. After finishing the first round and the first section, I will then hand over to my colleague, Mulana Sulaiman, who will then be discussing further with the various representatives, and also then later on opening the floor to all those that are present. This evening we have representatives from the various parties as well as an independent candidate. From the ANC we have Subesh Pillay. I feel it my duty to explain some background information in this regard. Initially I had approached Ismail Vadi to be part of the discussion this evening. He declined by saying it's not his part of his forte, local governance. Subsequent to that, I then got in touch with Zarina Mutala. I'd sent an email and she responded, availing herself. On Thursday evening, after our promo was already being aired, the ANC branch then gets in touch with us and say that we want to send Mayor Ramakgopa to the discussion. So we accept and we made the necessary changes. And this evening, on behalf of the ANC, we have Subesh Pillay. Sitting alongside him from the DA, we have Ghalib Kachalia. Then alongside him from COPE, we have Dumusani Ndlovu. And right at the end, we have Yasin Jinnah, who is from the Truly Alliance Party. On the other side of Subesh Pillai, we have Nazir Paulson from the EFF. Followed by which we have Abdul Razak Nurbai from the Al Jamaa Party. And right at the end we have Muhammad Azhar Bulbulia, who is an independent candidate. At the outset also, I'd like to make it very clear that we do have house rules, and we'd expect silence from the crowd while our representatives from the various parties are making their presentation. It is really unbecoming to interrupt them, to interject or to be rowdy while they have been given the opportunity to present what they have to say. We do not want to have a situation where we have to call upon our security to eject and remove any individual from the hall. So therefore we beg your indulgence and that you respect the house rules in that regard. We will now be starting off with the ANC, Subesh Pillai, and we will be giving him 2 minutes to make his presentation as to why people should be voting for him, and an overview for the ANC and why, and an overview of the manifesto. You may commence.
The ANC has built the strongest economy, the fourth biggest economy on the African continent in the province of
Gauteng. The sum total of that economy is the economies of three metros in the province, Ekuru, Levinswane, and Joburg. These are the strongest financial municipalities in the country. Swane has received 5 unqualified audit opinions. The city of Ekuru just received a clean audit, a AAA investment grade. The city of Johannesburg continues with a clean audit, continues to build on its infrastructure. The Gauteng City Region Observatory just published the 2015 Quality of Life Survey. Well, that measures the overall quality of life of the people of this province who reside in our municipalities. It continues to reflect an upward trend in the overall quality, which suggests that more services are reaching communities, and not just the level of basic services, but there is increase in the quality of services that our communities are receiving. And then we continue to strengthen and professionalize municipalities. From 15 years ago, when they were little administrative units, municipalities are now fully functional institutions which continue to be professionalized. You continue to see greater levels of services but quality being attracted, of staff being attracted in these municipalities. And we continue to be the backbone of the growth, not only of the economy of Gauteng, but certainly of the South African economy. All that put together suggests that the ANC continues to build on a better life. And our appeal is that we be granted the opportunity to continue on this path, so that indeed we are able to continue to build a better Gauteng, better communities, and the sum total of that results in a better life for the people of our country and the residents of our cities and towns.
On to our next representative, and that is from the DA, and we have Ghalib Kachalia. And Ghalib, your time starts now.
Thank you. I think it is important at the outset to say why I made a choice to sever ties with the party that I've been associated with all my life. I've often said that the ANC left me. I didn't leave the ANC, and I need to tell you why. I have witnessed over the years the capture of the ANC by Jacob Zuma and his acolytes. It has troubled me to my very core, and I have decided of late to roll up my sleeves and to take action and to participate in a popular movement to right the wrongs that have been created over the last number of years. I sought my conscience very deeply, and I found a home in the DA. I found a home in the DA because, in my view, it was a party that was utterly inclusive in every respect, that had respect for all, irrespective of color, of race, or religion. It is a party that prides itself on freedom, fairness, and opportunity. I would like to address very briefly one thing that my colleague here brought up. He talked about the quality of life survey. The quality of life survey actually says that 82% of the people in this country are dissatisfied with the way things are. It says 61% of the people in this country believe that corruption is at the root of this. And very importantly, 48% believe that they fear for free and
thank
fair
you.
Election.
Thank you, Mahal. We now move on to Nazir Paulson from the EFF. Nazir, your 2 minutes begins now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Good evening to the listeners and the viewers out there. Good evening to the leadership of Johannesburg region, Ekurhuleni region, the incoming governments of Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni, respectively, from the Economic Freedom Fighters. In South Africa, and especially at local municipality level, there are huge structural and spatial deficiencies, especially when it comes to the division of revenue and how we fund municipalities. And this has led to huge and continued structural and spatial inefficiencies that have existed under apartheid. The conditions that we find in our communities are no different from the conditions that existed under apartheid. So the EFF Elections Manifesto is a people's manifesto. We've trekked across the length and breadth of this country, visiting communities, asking them what it is that they expect from their local government. And we've compiled an elections manifesto that meets with what they have demanded. So every EFF governed municipality would be a people's municipality. It will cater for the needs of our people, unlike what has existed in this country for the past 22 years. It will be a radical departure from an apartheid designed municipality to a municipality that advances all the people of this country, creating opportunities for everyone. An EFF municipality would be at the forefront of driving the economic development of that particular municipality.
We now move on to Dumisani Ndlovu of COPE.
I must emphasize a few things that I can see that my opponents here, they have just forget to mention. COPE stands for one thing, which is very fundamental in this country, whereby the majority of the country have voted and changed the constitution. As COPE, we stand for upholding the constitution, making sure that the constitution of the country remains a stronghold for every citizen in the country. We believe that as COPE, when we uphold the constitution, it is like the Bible which is going to put the rule for every person that is in the country. Therefore, we stand for strong fundamental reasons. Firstly, our president, Musua Likota, stood firm in making sure that he abides with the constitution of the country, because that is the guideline for every citizen. Other than that, it would have been a problem. Now, we have seen parties who has managed to break the constitution of the country, you know, not making sure, much as they vowed for the constitution, but they decided to break it. Now, so we are standing firmly to say, first thing, it's the constitution of the country. Number two, we believe in the government of the people, where the government should be the community that elects its people that is going to represent. you know, the people who will represent them, they should elect them from the level ground. We believe that every society and the community has a right of making sure that whenever they need a mayor, they need to decide, because they would know that individual. They cannot get somebody who's just going to be deployed to them or enforced to them. So this is what we believe. And we also believe...
We now move on to the Al-Jamaa Party, and from the Al-Jamaa Party we have Abdul Razak Nurbai.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. I also greet you with the universal greeting of peace be upon you. Why vote for Al-Jamaa? Al-Jamaa is not asking to merely win your vote, but we are asking, let's do what's best for your vote. Democracy is concerned with the mechanism for selecting people through the electoral process for government. Al-Jamaa's concern is with the outcome of that process. What is of concern is what sort of rulers of public life result from that process. You cannot have free and fair elections by electing corrupt rulers. And Al-Jamaa wants beyond an elected government, we want a just government. Let us also be clear that we firmly believe that accountability, equality, equity, freedom, justice, morality, and truth prevails democracy. Some of our key focus programs are what we're talking on: consumer empowerment through adequate rights and representation, food security and poverty alleviation through comprehensive agrarian reforms. We are speaking of development of business skills training infrastructure with adequate support for informal and small traders. One of the main fundamental things that Al-Jamaa is involved in is in social and cooperative economic empowerment development supported by interest-free Islamic banking principles. And in our role we have addressed the city of Johannesburg on many occasions on this, how it can alleviate the cumbersome challenges faced by any municipality. Community safety and crime prevention. We are talking with a restorative justice system focusing on victim compensation. Religious, cultural, indigenous and identity rights be upheld by promoting a community-based multicultural society. Gender empowerment.
Jazakumullah khair. Now we have from the Truly Alliance, Yasin Jenner.
Jenner.
Okay, Azure, my name is Yasin Jenner. I'm from Truly Alliance. Now, Truly Alliance, we are aligned with the needs of the people. We believe that a people's mandate is required for better service deliveries. Our constitution compels us to serve the people as best as we can, irrespective of your race, your color, religion, or your creed. Now, when you look at the parties that are now based, they are opposition parties. And opposition parties, they hinder from the delivery of services to the people because they only concentrate on opposition politics. We are a progressive party. And as a progressive party, we are committed to representing the people and the needs of the people of South Africa. Truly Alliance wants to ensure that you live in a safe, healthy and clean environment. That you bring your children up in an environment that is conducive of a proper way of living. We want to stimulate the economy of South Africa. And by doing this, we ensure job creation. And in order to do this, we need to negotiate with all spheres of government, commerce and industry. Now, why must the people of Lanesia, Lanesia South, Temelihle and Loli always fight for basic needs? Water, electricity, sanitation. These are basic needs that people are fighting for. And when you look at the parties that we have today, Nelson Mandela once said, and I quote, "To be free is not to merely cast off one's chains, but to live in a way that respects and enhances the life of others." The politicians we have now in power have forgotten these values. But Truly Alliance has not. When we look at how our areas are, we want to help the people in our community. We want to assist with illegal dumping. We want to assist with all the problems that are taking place in the community. It's not about being accountable to your party. It's about being accountable to the people.
And now from what is termed as the Independent Coalition for Change, an independent candidate, Mohammed Azhar Bulbulia, and your 2 minutes starts now.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. As a candidate of the Coalition of Independent for Change, as a collective, we accept and understand the dynamics and concerns and fears and aspirations of the communities of Lanesia and the surrounding areas. The 8 points that we will be touching on are public safety, infrastructure, health and human development, transport, housing, economic development and finance, community development, and development planning and urban management. Why should you vote for us? Because we've decided instead of taking the top approach down, we're taking the approach from bottom going upwards. If you see the surroundings around us, the parties are doing nothing, it's the people. We as independent candidates are already doing the work of the councillors. And that's why it's important that you should know who your councillor and your candidate is. Without the people telling the candidates what to do, the candidate will not know what to do. We as the candidates, the independent candidates for Coalition of Change, are the voice of the people. And it's very important that you should know that we do not answer to party politics, but we shall be answering to the people on the ground. Thank you.
That brings us to one segment, the closure of one segment of our first round. Now in the next segment, we're going to be questioning each of the party representatives as a follow-up question on their presentation, and they will be given 1 minute, 60 seconds, that is exactly 60 seconds to respond to this. The first candidate that did make his presentation was Subesh Pillai from the ANC, so we will once again begin with him. Subesh, you spoke about the quality of life survey in Gauteng and the level of living that is being presented to residents of Gauteng. Now, there has been statistics which suggest that there are almost 30 service delivery protests every day in the country. Even if that's an exaggeration, and we take it to be one service delivery protest every day in the country, many of which are taking place in Gauteng. And even if it is peaceful service delivery protests, the fact that people are coming out almost on a daily basis, that is a sign that they're not happy with the services as well as the way they are being governed.
I think you need to interrogate what you mean by service delivery protests. Many of these protests are not about service delivery. Many of these protests are about communities acknowledging that in my ward, that development has arrived, in other words, it has happened here, there, and there, but it has not come to my ward. So in that context, it is a response, in fact, to the delivery at a broader level, and that's why every community wants to feel it happening. So the second point, I think, is to acknowledge that it's a testimony of the strength of our democracy, that people are able to raise their genuine grievances. And in many of the instances where communities have peacefully and responsibly raised issues with government, government has responded. And we've been at the forefront of addressing those issues in a very systematic way. The other reality of our situation is that, in fact, because of the historic legacy...
We now move on to Ghalib Kachalia. Ghalib, manifestos make promises. Manifestos make promises to people of better services, of better levels of governance. Whether the parties deliver on those manifestos or not, that's a different issue altogether. I'm asking you, what is it that the DA has to offer, which the ANC, which the government presently does not have to offer?
I'm not interested in telling you what we have to offer I will instead tell you what we do and have done, because you must judge people on their track record. Now,
Please, we're going to request the crowd to allow the party representatives to make their presentation so that everyone has an equal opportunity.
Now, if you look at our track record in where we govern 9 out of 10 independently rated of the best governed municipalities in the country, whereas the ANC governs 10 of the worst municipalities in the country. We govern in Midvale, where our unemployment rate there is 11%. In Ekurhuleni, it is 37%. In Ekurhuleni, 683,000 jobs have been lost over 5 years, 110,000 in the last year alone. In Cape Town, in the first quarter of this year, we created 4,000 net jobs.
We now move on to Nazir Paulson from the EFF. In your presentation, you spoke about the economy, and also your manifesto attacks the economy of South Africa directly and how things are functioning. Now, when you look at some of the presentations of your leader, Julius Malema, he speaks about his visit to Venezuela and some of the things he witnessed over there. He also very favorably speaks about our neighbor, Zimbabwe, and that is Robert Mugabe. Now, the two examples that has been presented in that regard, we know that in Venezuela, there isn't toilet roll, there isn't baby food. And in Zimbabwe, half of Zimbabwe is in South Africa. So the policies that you are presenting are not really tested, and those countries that have tried it out have failed.
Thank you very much. As I've mentioned, our elections manifesto is a people's manifesto. It is what the people of South Africa have requested us to include in our manifesto. We did not go to Venezuela for that manifesto. We did not go to Zimbabwe. So when it comes to municipalities as it stands at present, and this is why a municipality or a metro run by the DA can have clean audits, because all it does is deliver basic services, refuse collection, cleaning the streets, but it doesn't participate in the economy of that particular municipality. And this is where the economic freedom fighters is very different, is that we will participate in the economic development of this, of an EFF government.
Our question now to Dumisani of the COPE. In 2009, you received 1.3 million votes at that time. A few months ago, a few weeks ago, at your launch of your manifesto, there were less than 1,000 people that were present. Convince the voters that you are still a force to be reckoned with.
I must say that it will be very interesting to entertain your questions. But there is few things that we need to make sure that we take care of them, which is frustrating in South Africa, whereby most of the South Africans are becoming frustrated. And once again, for the fact that we have already posed the same question to the people who has voted for us during 2009, by saying when they voted for Sam Shilowa, well, they were voting for Musua Likota or voting for COPE. Because Musua Likota stood firm and stand in making sure that he protects what he has made him to move out from ANC. Even today, he still stands by that. Now, the challenge is, those who has voted for us and even decided to do a floor crossing, you know, to cross to COPE, maybe they were coming there because of looking at their own interests. But unfortunately, it's not the case. Musua Likota today, he says, we are very lonely in sitting, making sure that we want to preserve.
Time up. Now we move on to the Al-Jama Party. And from the Al-Jama Party, we have Abdurazak Nurbai. Abdurazak, after the poor showing in the 2014 municipal national elections,
in numerous interviews that were hosted on various radio stations, you spoke about the reasons for your poor showing. You spoke about your flawed campaign, as well as reasons being under-resourced, not being visible on social media, not having your website functional. Did you do things differently this time around that voters can expect a better performance from yourself and the party?
I think let me address that on, you know, yes, all political parties are active on social media and so forth. Our website has recently just been revamped. One of the reasons we always say, you know, funding is an issue with us, because first and foremost, we do not hold any provincial seats or any parliamentary seats. The other thing is we do not simply take funding from large businesses and conglomerates, because then they start dictating your party politics to you, as what's happening with the larger parties. It's not done at grassroots level, and then it's done at an astroturf level. But Al Jamaa has had many, many achievements despite some of these shortcomings, and we're not going to deny it. We are a party in growth. If you look at from the 2009 elections that we contested, the 2011 elections and the 2014 elections, you look at in the city of Cape Town, and the statistics are there, we were the fifth largest party.
Now we move on to Yasin from the Truly Alliance. Yasin, recent surveys and polls are suggesting that people are polarizing towards the bigger parties, the ANC, the DA, the EFF. That is the trend at the moment. There has been statements that have been made in recent days that a vote for a smaller party is a wasted vote. Why not?
Thank you. It's a good question. I want to say that looking at smaller parties is a new perspective on politicians. The parties that are already in place, take for example the ANC, 4 billion rand of unauthorized expenditure in a municipality for Johannesburg. Where is this money? Now, if you look at the DA as well, the DA says that they speak on what they've done. But in Ward 120, the candidate for Ward 120, Vinay Chuni, went to people's houses, went to people in the street, taking the baki and asked, telling them, we will get your houses and take their money. But no money was given to the people, and the houses were not given to them. So when you speak... When you speak about corruption, it's not only the ANC, the DA is included in what they are doing. Why take a smaller party?
And now from the Independent Coalition for Change, we have Mohammed Azhar Bulbulia. Now, in your manifesto, you clearly outline that you are not a political party. My question to you is, in your presentation, you spoke about transport also. Not being a political party or affiliated to any political party, how is it that you are really going to lobby to bring tangible change? One of the things that the residents of Lanesia would like to see is the BRT being brought to Lanesia. How will you, as an independent candidate, be able to work within the government structures as an independent personality to really bring about this tangible change?
As an independent, what we will do is actively participate with all other independent candidates and with the caucuses as well. Like we mentioned clearly in our manifesto, that the structures are there, but there's no implementation. As the independents, we will make sure that we engage with the relevant authorities and bring about the change, and bring either BRT or metro buses or a reasonable public transport into Lanesia.
That brings us towards the close of the first section. For the next section, I will be handing over to my colleague, Maulana Suleiman Rawat.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, people, good atmosphere, mashallah.
But let's keep it in between the presentations. Leave your acknowledgement and your exhibition of appreciation for in between the presentations by the candidates. My colleague Mufti Yusuf has done a phenomenal job on getting the candidates to express their thoughts and to give a gist of their manifestos, and also to touch on some of the aspects pertaining to the municipal elections. Mayans is going to be a little bit broader, some of the broader issues that we need to touch on, and we'll go in the same format. What's going to happen in the first round, I'm going to just have a bit of a chat with all of the candidates. Then I'll allow the candidates to talk to each other, but there will be a time limit, right? And then we'll start moving towards questions from the floor, because we want you to have your say. So we start with ANC. Suresh, welcome to Lens. This is not Parliament. You can't say, Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker.
Can I have that microphone that Dumisani has? It's red.
You want the red microphone?
I want the red microphone, yeah. I don't like this, you know.
Okay, Suresh.
Suresh, quiet, please. I feel sorry for you, honestly. You, quiet, you represent the ruling party, right? But look here tonight. I see many in red for the EFF, many in blue for the DA. I see... Quiet. I see many in yellow for the Truly Alliance. Where are the ANC supporters? Where are the ANC supporters? You are the ruling party. Wait. Please.
Time.
It's well, but you don't count. You don't have yellow. You don't have yellow. Let me just finish. People, please. Let me finish the question. Otherwise, a lot of time is going to get wasted. But on a serious note, Suresh, we're having a debate. You're representing the ruling party, yet your supporters are outnumbered by the DA and EFF and even the Truly Alliance. What does it say? That are you disorganized? Are you complacent? Or you just simply don't have any support any longer?
Well, I guess...
Quiet, please, quiet. Well, let's hear his response.
Well, I can assure you it's none of those things. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, the ANC filled up FNB Stadium to the brink. On the 31st, on the 31st of July, on the 31st of July, on the 31st of July, the ANC will be the only party to fill up two stadiums, Ellis Park and Johannesburg Stadium. So we are organized in every community across the province. You've seen thousands of people coming to ANC community meetings, unprecedented across our political spectrum.
Okay, okay.
So it must dispel the myth.
Please, people.
I think the respect that we accord this forum is that we have sent a representative in the form of myself.
Okay, so
that's the respect we accord to this forum.
We can't continue the discussion like this. Please, I'm going to insist on absolute silence. Listen to the responses. In between, I'll give you a chance to vent. So, okay, I get your point, Suresh. If we want to fill Nurul Islam the next time with ANC supporters, we must provide entertainment and chows and free transport. But anyway, on a lighter note, let's, on a more serious question, right? Please, people. Do you know what was the most common word in political circles last year? In Kandla. Now, in your manifesto, you talk about that the ANC will continue to be led by the constitution. Yet your leader and all of your MPs in parliament were found to be in violation of the constitution. What example are you setting for your local councillors? The fish rots from the head.
No, the reason why we had to go to the constitutional court is to test the constitutionality of what had transpired in parliament. But when the constitutional court, when the highest court in the land pronounced, the ANC was first to defend the integrity of the ruling of the constitutional court, and that's why both the president and parliament had to act in the manner that they did, consistent with the ruling of the constitutional court. So the ANC has never ever impeded in the judiciary and has always respected the outcome of whatever matters were before the courts.
Okay.
And that is testimony by the fact that the president is in fact preparing to pay as the constitutional court required
of him. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll give you 10 seconds after each response, right, to have your say. Last question for the ANC, Suresh. 22 years, right, in power. And I know we can bore the audience to death about stats and what you did here and what you did there. But there are many who feel, even hardcore ANC cadres and supporters, that the ANC has not done enough, especially at local level, over the last 22 years. You may have done, yes, but you haven't adequately performed in 22 years. If after 22 years you cannot adequately perform, why should we believe that you will perform adequately in the next 5 years?
I don't think anybody will dispel the fact that the kind of structural inequalities that we found in 1994 would require much more than 20 years to undo. What we can say with absolute certainty is that life today is much better than it was 20 years ago, and that we have laid the basis to continue to grow our cities, to continue to strengthen our economy, to build resilient cities that goes into the future. If you look at the ANC manifesto, you can't congratulate the fish for swimming. You can't say tick the box because the ANC says it's going to fix the street lights. The ANC's manifesto is visionary. It's looking at cities to the future. It's saying that cities are the backbone of the national economies, and we must strengthen economies, the cities. We must undermine apartheid spatial planning. We must invest in public transport as a catalyst to build these sustainable cities
that we want to do. Thank you. Thank you, Suresh. Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We move on to the DA now. Ghalib, you know, obviously the questions are posed in reference to the party, right? And not in reference to specific candidates, but you opened the door by talking about why you moved from the ANC to the DA. One of my colleagues from the news team, just before we started the debate, was telling me that Feroz Khechalia was interviewed by SABC today, and he said, well, Ghalib was never part of the ANC for him to have left. And there are those who know you who say, this man spent most of his time overseas. What does he know about the ANC? Your response to that.
Allow me to answer.
Give you the chance.
I was never a member until recently of any political party in this country. I was never a member. However, I was born into the ANC. At my parents' table, the ANC and the politics of this country was the bread and butter of our discussion. My family's history goes back to the days of Mahatma Gandhi, through my father, through Maulvi Khechalia, and many people who have given their lives for freedom in this country. I honored that. Yes, in my early student days, I was a bit of an activist. I don't make too much about that. And yes, I spent 9 or 10 years in involuntary exile overseas. For the rest of my life, I'm 60 years today. Not today, but I'm 60 years old. And I have spent the majority of my life in this country. I am a South African, and I will always honor that. I have never claimed to be a member of the ANC. However,
okay,
that blood that I spoke about has run cold in my veins.
Point taken. Okay. Second question to you, Ghalib. Look, the DA speaks ad nauseum, perhaps, about its accomplishments in Cape Town. But there are those who have a counter version. They say that as much as you may put forward a black leader and try and put forward multiple black faces, the issue is that people still grapple with trusting the DA, whether it's because they feel that the DA gets Zionist funding, or whether it's because they feel that the DA, having this history of apartheid, still is primarily aimed at serving the interests of white people. Now, my question is specific. What have you done for the black people in DA, in Cape Town, in Midvale, all of these examples you gave? What has the DA done for the black people of Guguletu and other such places?
The DA is an inclusive party. The rhetoric which you have just unwittingly employed is the same rhetoric that Jacob Zuma employs. It is dangerous racial rhetoric. He's used it, members of his party have used it, and it is disingenuous, to put it mildly. We are the most inclusive racial party in South Africa, number one. Number two, to answer your point on what we have done, our budget in Cape Town, which is not insubstantial, approaching almost 70% of that budget is allocated to the upliftment of the poor. And that is an indisputable fact. I do not deal in rhetoric, I deal in fact.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Nazir Paulson, welcome to Lens.
Thank you very much.
Do you like to emulate your leader, Julius Malema?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
I say, are you a person who endeavors to emulate your leader, Julius Malema? Okay. If you say yes, I wanted to ask you, where's your Louis Vuitton shoes? But anyway. Okay, thank you. No, it doesn't light it out.
I'm sorry. I just didn't hear that question above all the noise.
I was just welcoming you to Lanesia with a bit of banter by saying, I hope you're not emulating Malema by also wearing Louis Vuitton shoes. But anyway, let me finish my question. Silence, please. Quiet. Mensa, please. I don't want to call all those guys at the back to keep you quiet, right? You're not small children. So I'll allow you your 10 seconds after every response to do whatever you want to do. Nazir, I mean, you guys have rocked the boat. There's no two ways about it, right? Since you came to Parliament in 2014, you've provided entertainment, you've provided theater, you've allowed in massive delays, you've given us the media grey hairs because Parliament sessions went way beyond schedule. But honestly, apart from all the theater and talking the talk, you haven't really walked the walk. You always talk about, we will. You don't have a track record. Can you tell us what you did, apart from all the theater and the rhetoric and the screaming and the shouting and the singing and the red uniforms? What did you do constructively?
Thank you very much, and a very unfair question on the one hand, in that we haven't governed. We haven't governed a municipality as yet. Come the 4th of August, we will be governing many municipalities across the country.
That's the point, exactly. That's the point. That if you don't have a track record...
It's unfair in that regard. But let me put it to you this way. A key problem in this country and a key issue in this country, as you've mentioned, was the issue of Nkandla. And we only came to Parliament in 2014. And the Nkandla issue existed before that. The DA was there. They've done nothing. It is only the EFF that has managed to hold Jacob Zuma accountable for his corrupt activities. It is only the EFF that will hold the ANC and the DA accountable in this country.
Thank you. Let me just say something to the supporters. If you start applauding loudly while your candidate is speaking, you're disadvantaging him, because then the crowd, the listeners and the viewers can't hear what his response is. So please, the supporting crowd and the opposing crowd, let's maintain silence whilst they are speaking, whether you agree or you don't agree, so that their viewpoint can come across. Nazir, that was my point exactly, that you haven't yet governed, so it's all talk, right? You don't have a proven track record, but be that as it may, when people look at the EFF, what does the EFF symbolize up to now? It symbolizes bravery, maybe, the willingness to stand up and to change the norm. It symbolizes the theater. It symbolizes opulence, if you look at how your leaders live. But you haven't yet symbolized hard work. And local municipal elections and ward councillors is all about hard work. Convince us that if we vote for you, you can graft.
Thank you very much. Since we embarked on our campaign a year ago, preparing for these local government elections, every EFF member of parliament, every EFF public representative,
including the two councillors that we have in the Northwest, have been going to communities, going to our constituencies, taking the issues in those communities, and though for the first time, real issues that plague our people in communities, ordinary people, have been raised at the level of Parliament. It is the first time that issues of water shortages in a village in Ramotseri, in the Naka, Modiri, Molema district in the northwest has been raised in Parliament. It is the first time that the challenges that our people face in our communities has been raised in Parliament.
Okay.
And now it will be on the 4th of August, those issues will be raised in those very municipalities that will have to address those challenges that our people face.
Okay. A quick last question to the AFF, Nazir. You guys have got some radical proposals in your manifesto, you know, land expropriation. But there are many, many analysts, experts who have said, what you are promising the people that you will do if you come in power is not realistic. At times it's not even allowed by the constitution. It's pie in the sky. You are lying to the nation because you know it will resonate with them and you might get some votes. Why are you not being realistic in your policies? That's the concern.
Thank you very much. In 22 years, we have the highest unemployment in the world. We have the greatest inequality between rich and poor. And something has to be done to address those two major challenges. And for to tell us that the way we want to reorganize our economy, the way we want to fight and restore the dignity of black people, meaning African, Indian, and colored people, to tell us that what we're doing is pie in the sky is actually ridiculous. To say, because by telling us if this is what we want to do and it's ridiculous, it's like saying to restore the dignity of black people in this country is ridiculous. And I cannot see how we can start any other place other than land expropriation without compensation so that everybody would feel that he's got or that he belongs in this country. And it is not the domain of the minority which has dominated our economy, our social spaces for
okay.
so long.
Thank you. Tumisani, you guys, quiet please. You guys were the biggest losers in 2014. And you hardly got a handful of MPs in Parliament. You got to resort to walkouts and that kind of thing to get noticed. There are municipalities across the country, realistically speaking, you don't have the numbers. You know, one analogy comes to mind, that if you have cancer and you're terminally ill, and you're an ICU patient, at some point the doctor tells you, go home and die with dignity. Many see you in the political ICU. Is it not time to go home and die with political dignity?
You are wrong. You are very, very wrong. Let me just update you. I'm sure that a lot of people are not aware that we've got about 263 councillors around the country. And with our numbers today, as we can see, a lot of people who are frustrated, you know, who are coming to us to say, where were you guys? We said, you know, we don't have funds, you know. Today, you know, it's announced that ANC has spent R1 billion in campaigning, whereby we don't have that. We use our own funds to campaign. But again, you know, yes, of course, we are the biggest losers. Like I said, you know, sometimes when you are rocking the boat, you manage to find wrong people in the boat. But for the fact that we stood firm with substance to say, we are going to protect and make sure that we stand with our decisions. We are saying to the people of South Africa, don't be deceived by these political parties who has stood. If you look again, I want us to draw back. Look, when Hendrik Verwoerd introduced apartheid, how many years? That was 46 years. Today, ANC has ruled for 22 years, which is half of the number of introduction of apartheid. Now, if you will continue to vote for such party, then you are wrong. Then you don't want to see changes in your life. Again,
okay.
The frustration that has taken place in the DA in Mayaton, it shows exactly that even DA can actually marginalize the black people, because black people in Mayaton are complaining.
But now you see, to me, Sani, I'm asking you about COPE, you're telling me about the ANC and the DA. Maybe those people who are coming to you, on a lighter note, right? It's a long session, we're going till 10 o'clock, so I'm just going to break it up a little bit. Maybe those people who are coming to you, from far they're seeing the yellow skipper, they think it's ANC, it's only when they come close they see it's COPE. But anyway, jokes aside, 263 councillors is not a big number in the greater scheme of things, right? Let's be honest. Give me one example in one municipality where you guys have made a big difference.
I'm not sure whether you people are aware that we have already formed a coalition with GA in Western Cape.
But you were just rubbishing them now.
Yeah, but even though, when we form coalition, we form coalition on the fact that we make sure that we stand with our principles. We don't sell our principles because of the coalition. We form coalition just to make sure that we push ANC out in suppressing them.
So it's all about that resentment that you have for your original party, the ANC.
Not really. Look, there is no way or time where we will go back to ANC.
Okay.
But if you're speaking of color, I mean, the colors are, look at the TA. It's also yellow, you know. It shows exactly that they can also be deceived by any.
Huh? Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Abdul Razak Nurbai Al-Jamaa, my good friend. Since the last time we were here in this very hall, 2014, how many trips did you make to PE?
Never mind. I'll answer you on this.
I need to be very, very careful. I need to be very, very careful with Al-Jamaa, because these other parties will forgive me. After the last debate, they got lawyers' letters from my friends. And they blame me for the poor results.
Can I answer on that?
No, wait. I'm coming to the question. But you did send me lawyers' letters, right? And you did blame me for your poor showing in the election. Anyway, on a serious note, right, Abdul Razak, in your manifesto, I've read it, and I want to quote the passage there. You say that Al-Jama'ah was formed to espouse Muslim values. And, I mean, there's Islam that's linked to your name, and you have linked yourselves to it as a party. Apart from the broader values, like peace and justice, which is obviously inherent and intrinsic in Islam, but it's shared by many others, irrespective of ideology, which specific Islamic values have you managed to successfully promote at the local level in accordance with your manifesto during the years of your existence?
First and foremost, let me make it clear. There are political parties whose roots are embedded in Christianity, in Taoism, in Marxism, in communism, and so forth. And nobody has a quarrel with it. I don't think anybody should have a quarrel with a political party whose roots are embedded in Islam. And we are a party by the Muslims for all South Africans. Today we had an issue at Inkandla where there was a presentation made to the King, Goodwill Zwelithini, and that emanated from the Muslim community. And if you look at all these social welfare, disaster relief, welfare organizations emanate from the Muslim community. This is where Al-Jamaa comes from, and this is a legacy that we've inherited and that we're implementing. Let me give an example. In the 2014, before the then, who is now current Minister of Finance as well, Praveen Gordhan, we submitted submissions to him on the resilience of Islamic finance and the resilience of Islamic sukuk bonds. I think this year the minister implemented that into policy. In 2013 and last year in 2015, I addressed the city of Johannesburg on two occasions on the resilience of Islamic economic finances. The current dispensation, the ANC is calling for an interest-free state bank. There is nobody better to advise them than that comes from the Muslim community.
Okay. Now, I don't think anyone has a quarrel with the party being based on Muslim values or Islamic values. The question was, the proof to us that you have constructively promoted those values and achieved via those values. Now, you've given a few examples, and I want to question you on them. Look, the Inkandla event today was the efforts of the Imkize family and other Muslim organizations. You can't take credit for that. Secondly, Islamic finance was the fruits of the labor of people within that particular sector, irrespective of your submission. So I'm not convinced that you're telling us about what you did, which nobody else was already doing, which you merely conveyed. Give me an example of Al-Jama'ah as a party using Islamic values and constructively achieving something, not somebody else's achievement, and communicating that or showcasing that or commenting on that.
No, we're not copying, or we're not saying that we've copied. But we are speaking on these issues. Let me give another example. Where we have, when we challenged the mayor of Cape Town, Patricia Dalal, on the relabeling saga by Orion Meat Company, okay, our position was that halal vendors are not statutory authorities to deal with contraventions and transgressions of the Foodstuff Act of 1972. This is the responsibility of municipalities and the respective Department of Health, delegated by the Department of Agriculture. We've also made submissions and made oral and written submissions to the Director General of the Department of Labor on the unfair labor practices meted out to farm and mine workers as regards to the Duans and Marikana mining, agriculture and other industries, inter alia being the lifeblood of the country. And here again we've used Islamic values in this. But Al-Jama'ah councillors are on many occasions assisting and resolving many service delivery issues within the city. One of these, and one of our highlights, is the zoning issues of masajids. No political party has taken these issues up. And specifically in those wards where Muslim communities as such, and those indigenous communities that have moved into wards where previously access was denied to them, those zoning issues have been blocked by several DA ward councillors. Okay. No political party took that issue up. I'm busy right now with a masjid that's battling for 12 years to get the zoning that's been blocked by a DA ward councillor.
Okay.
From an Islamic perspective, we've taken this issue up.
Last question very quickly. There is this notion that because you guys are a small party, you lack in numbers. In many times, especially on local level, you piggyback on the ANC. So why vote for Al-Jama'ah? I might as well directly vote for the ANC then.
You know, it's a misnomer. When you're in a minority, you are always asked to assimilate with the majority and say, do as we do. Okay? I'll give another example. It's not in the numbers. It's in the message that comes across. When we had a protest demo against Tony Blair when he came to our shores, the Sunday Times attacked us on saying you did not have the numbers. It wasn't in the numbers. It was in the message that we brought across, and it prompted Emeritus Archbishop Desmond Tutu to pull out of that function that was arranged by Discovery. So, whoever, our philosophy is, first and foremost, we are not resting for power as such. We are saying we want to enhance the transitional and transformational process in restoring balance in the country. So whichever party is in power, and because of our limited numbers,
okay,
we will work with those political parties.
Let's move on. Truly Alliance.
Okay.
Truly Alliance. Reminds me of yours truly. But seriously, right, my colleague Mufti asked you about, you know, being a small party and how you'll deal with all of that. But where were you guys? We never heard of you until very recently, and even in the media we hardly picked up on Truly Alliance. You can't pitch up in the season leading up to election and make yourself known and come to a debate and expect people to vote for you.
Exactly. We don't expect people to vote by just doing that. Truly Alliance is not just from today. We started in 2005 in KwaZulu-Natal, and the party leader's name is Tony Adam. And if you look at if you go on the web and you check it out, Tony Adam has done a lot of good work for the people in KwaZulu-Natal through the councils and the wards that he's run there. So what we've decided, we've seen the success that he's, we have seen how successful he's been in KwaZulu-Natal, and we decided with that success that we want to bring it to Lanesia, bring it to Gauteng.
Well, was he a member of the Truly Alliance from the beginning, or that's a recent?
He's the founder of Truly
Alliance. From 2005. And what track record do you have in Gauteng as the Truly Alliance?
Truly Alliance has only begun this year in Gauteng. And we are here with the aim of proving that there's a difference that can be made.
Now, you would appreciate that people here don't know about Tony. And you haven't done a very good job of marketing yourself. We're giving you a marketing opportunity tonight, but you have to concede on that point, right?
Exactly. But if you look at the way we are, our point is that you've been sitting with the DA, you've been sitting with ANC, EFF members in council, in parliament, in it, but they haven't done anything for the people. It's about time that you start taking a fresh look at politicians. It's not
now,
about
what's
being
your
a
fresh
party.
Look? Tell me, what's your fresh look?
I've been to so many debates in Indonesia, and every time the question comes, how do you get job creation for people? But all they're saying is, when I've spoken to the EFF candidate for Ward 8 and Ward 9 mentioned, one thing they want to do is, they want to take the tenders that are given in the community, 50% of that money must go to the businesses. But that's all, it's going to the businesses, it's not promoting jobs for the people. We have found through work that there are several jobs available in the government at this moment. One of them is the Public Workers Employment Act. Now, what the Public Workers Program does is, it allows people to get jobs, and at the same time, you gain skills. We want to bring this into our areas in Lanesia South. We want to put it in Tamalitle, in Loli, all the surrounding areas.
Okay.
Another problem I'd like to tell you is, we want to introduce a government-funded recruitment agency. Because everybody, the ANC only speaks of Josie, for the internet. How many people in our informal settlements don't have internet services? So by opening a government-funded recruitment agency in your areas, we can assist those people for jobs in our private and public sectors.
Okay. Lastly, but not least, independent candidates, the independent coalition, Mohammed Azhar Bulbulia, Mufti Saab has asked you, and it's a very valid question, it's a very valid question about as an independent, resources, manpower, you've responded to that. I have to raise one question. There are those who may ask you that at one stage it looked like you were flirting membership with the DA. What happened? Also, you've mentioned track record as a community member. But there might be skeptics out there who say that maybe you're looking now at becoming an independent so that it could become some sort of a career. That's why you flirted with the DA in the first place. Your response to that?
I joined the DA early in January this year. I joined them. And when I looked into their policies, and especially on the stance regarding the Middle East, I felt that for me personally, there is no two-state solution for Palestine, and they still believe in a two-state Palestine. And that's when I left membership on the 14th of May this year.
My second question to you is that why not remain a community activist? Why your decision to go the political route as an independent? Why just not do what you were doing for so long as an active member of the community?
The thing is, I can still remain as an active member, but you cannot do change from the bottom or from the outside. You have to infiltrate in order for change to take place. And we've been trying with both the parties since 2014, when they came into power, trying to assist them to get where they are. But the false promises and empty promises has failed Lanesia and its surrounds.
Okay. That brings us to the end of this round. Now, the next round, what we're going to do is, each of these candidates have made their comments in response to my questions and also in response to Mufti's questions. Now we're going to give each candidate an opportunity to comment on what the others have said and to rebut that if they so wish. But we're going to have to put a time cap of 2 minutes to each response. So again, in that same order, although you don't have the ruling support here, but we'll still acknowledge you as the ruling party, Suresh. So we'll start with you. You've heard what your colleagues on the table have got to say. In 2 minutes, your refutation, your rebuttal.
Well, I must say the Kachalia name stands amongst the luminaries of our political heritage. And unfortunately, the Kachalia sitting next to me, I think, has placed a black spot on that name. Because he explains very eloquently why he left the DA. But the ultimate irony is that he chooses to join a party which represents white monopoly capital. A party which represents the most backward ideas when it comes to religious freedom. The DA, as was pointed out, in the city of Tshwane, stood on the fence when the ANC said, let's donate land to the Muslim community in Valhalla to establish a mosque. It's not the imagination of the president that speaks about racism in the DA. It's the black members of the DA themselves, no less than Lindiwe Mazibuko, who speaks about institutionalized racism in the DA, and that's what they represent principally as a party. He makes reference to 70% of the budget in Cape Town going to poor communities. Strip that budget of Cape Town of the allocation that the city gets from national and provincial government, and you will see that the city of Cape Town has no interest in redistribution of wealth, taking the money from rich people in Ballito and other areas in Cape Town and investing it in the townships of Khayelitsha and other townships. So the money that they purport to be putting into townships is in fact money that comes from national and provisional government in terms of our intergovernmental fiscal relations. So I must say, I find it a sad irony, Mr. Gachale, that you have chosen to express your discontent in the way you have by joining the Democratic Alliance, because I think it's almost self-defeating.
Thank you. Ghalib, your 2 minutes starts.
Sorry, do I get to ask a question or respond?
No, you get to respond to whatever has been said by all of the candidates.
Let me say very clearly that the DA is a party that tolerates no corruption whatsoever. That's one reason that I joined the DA. We, in terms of corruption, 2 Fridays ago, I went to Boksburg North police station and I laid a charge of 283 charges for fraudulent tenders amounting to 7.2 billion rands in Ikurhuleni alone. These are the reasons that I have distanced myself from the ANC. I have also visited every single 112 wards and every single of the 124 informal settlements. What I have seen there has shocked me to my core. These people have been forgotten. They don't have water, they don't have electricity, they don't have, the list goes on forever. The bottom line is, they don't have dignity. They have been forgotten by a party that has claimed and written on their back to install governments at municipal level, at provincial level, and at national level that have stolen from our people and impoverished our people. That is why I have joined the DA, because of the values instilled in me by my parents and the very history he talks about, which is indeed laudable. I will honor that to my dying day. That is my pledge to you, the voters. However, let me make it extraordinarily clear that
Nazir, your 2 minutes to comment on what your colleagues on the table have said thus far.
Thank you very much. I'm going to start with Mr. Kashalia, who's told 2 lies. First, Africa Check has said that the budget of the city of Cape Town, less than 50% of it is spent on the poorer communities. That is Africa Check, that's an independent authority, and I would rather trust them than to the DA's own analysis of how much they spend on the poorer communities. That's the first lie. The second lie is, he said he was a member of the ANC and he joined the DA. And we know, we've just heard that he himself admitted that he lied. And I think the third lie is that the only reason why he joined the DA, because he's got zero politics really, is so that he could be a mayoral candidate. That's his great achievement in life, that he's going to be a mayoral candidate. So, I feel sorry for Suresh. He's a nice guy, but he's amongst the most rotten people within the ANC. In 22 years of democracy, 22 years of governing South Africa, nothing has really changed. The ANC government had an opportunity to make sure that they put pressure on the DA government in the Western Cape and the city of Cape Town to take a departure from that apartheid spatial planning that separates white from black. But you would see, if you go into Cape Town, you would see in Langa, where African people live, opposite the road.
What? One thing I must say, Nazir, if Julius is watching right now, he will be proud of the way you can entertain verbally. Yeah? A quick response, Khali, very quick.
I've been called a liar, which is a ridiculous statement because I stand on facts. The EFF is extremely loose with facts, and you can cut statistics in many ways. But I'd like to ask him a pertinent question about the EFF. When their so-called commander-in-chief came to Lanesia some time ago, I think he was still an ANC member. You know, they shift every now and then. He made derogatory comments about the Makulas here in terms of having schools and the like. That is racism.
I mean, with that statement.
Okay.
For the fact, it was 2012.
Yeah.
When Julius Malema came at that time. Remember, ANC, they were demolishing houses.
Yes, that's right.
That were built, which they said they were built illegally. But later on, they allowed those people to stay there. Now, Julius Malema, on 2012, he called Amakula when he arrived there, with the perception to say, these are Makulas that are demolishing. But I want to say this. I really want to say this. It is very important for South Africans to open their eyes and view properly. It is very important to vote with conscience. Okay. And looking...
Now your chance will come for your 2 minutes. You were just making your point, right? but not bad. From the ICU bed, not bad. A quick response, Nazir. Then we move on.
A quick response. I find it typical of Mr. Kashalia to obsess about a personality. I thought we are here to discuss our elections manifesto, but it is typically of a DA member, he's fitted in very well, to obsess about a single personality. The EFF, or Julius Malema, is not EFF. EFF are those many members sitting on that side, the 2 million members that belong to the EFF, that makes up the EFF.
But Nazir, you can't have it both ways. When you criticize Zuma, you can't say Zuma is the head, represents the party. Now you say Malema is the head. Anyway, Tumisani, your 2 minutes. You're now awake in your ICU bed. Go for it.
Yeah. One thing that is very important. South Africans, how much does one rent values in your pocket after all the taxation and levies and everything? It's nothing. And it's going to continue that situation. As long as we don't want to open our eyes and view these people who are running, you know, the power at the moment, who are in government. Firstly, ANC has proven you have the track record of ANC and how did they perform. You are sitting with those statistics. It's up to you. It's up to every individual of South Africa looking at the interests of the future. Specifically, when you know that you want to make sure to preserve the country and also to preserve the country from looting, because these people are looting the government. There is a lot of looting that is taking place. And, you know, tender processes are systematically created in making sure that it take care of the exiles. It take care of, you know, the friends, the family members. Because why? Why I'm saying this? Before a tender is awarded to any company, firstly, there will be a person who is going to disclose the information to say so-and-so tender has tendered so much and now you can bring this to this price. For that fact, already the tender is awarded before even is awarded. Now, it's up to South Africans today to make a decisive action. Whenever you vote, vote with conscience, vote for future and for your children in making sure that you want to preserve the country. Other than that, let me honestly tell you, we are not far from Zimbabwe. And once again,
the ANC government has allowed the people from Zimbabwe to come so that they can make sure that they vote for them. They give them the IDs. 2 months back, the Minister of Home Affairs was saying the people from Lesotho,
they should
get the IDs.
Time. Okay, Al-Jamaa, your 2 minutes start now. Okay, quickly, Nazir, quickly.
Tumisani, we are right next to Zimbabwe. It's to the north of South Africa. You can go via Limpopo. Yeah. So we're not far from Zimbabwe. You're right.
A loaf of bread will be 60 rand at that day. The petrol price is going to go to 160 rand as soon as EFF takes over. Because why? They come with wrong mentality.
Okay. Thank you. It's Al Jamaa's time. Sorry, Nazir. I'd like to indulge you, but just now send me another lawyer's letter. Al Jamaa, your 2 minutes start.
Is Al Jamaa piggybacking on the ruling party? We've made a statement in council that we will critic wherever it is necessary, and we will appraise wherever it is necessary. As such, we are not a mantelpiece in council to be looked at and admired. But let me just say here, and this comes from the brother of the past president, Muletsi Mbeki, when he says, the state is distributing jobs to the party faithful and social welfare to the poor. This is a recipe for incompetence and corruption, both of which are endemic in South Africa. This explains the service delivery upheavals that are becoming a normal part of our environment. In as far as the DA is concerned, I am totally disappointed in what the DA's policies are as far as when it comes to other religious organizations that are moving in areas where previously disadvantaged communities were denied access to. And now that they are putting up their religious structures and the cultural centers, and there is a huge upheaval about this. There is an article today in a paper in the Western Cape of the ethnic cleansing, the gentrification of Bukab that is taking place currently in Cape Town. And this is, once again, an apartheid-style group areas act, removal of people. This is totally uncalled for. And if time eludes me, Molana Rawat, let me say this. In 22 years, it is time for the tree of liberty to be refreshed. Our democracy now needs a renewal and rejuvenation from parties such as like Al Jamaa. We are small in number, but we will grow in stature. 22 years on, we are still stigmatized by apartheid, and the ghosts of apartheid are still haunting us.
Hence, we are... Time. Okay, time. Okay, before I go on, before I continue, because we're now moving close to the question session from the floor, so I'm just going to ask some of the Radio Islam staff. We're going to allow supporters to ask questions, right, of the different parties, but I want to first allow voters, you know, voters before supporters, although all of us are voters. So the neutral people, I would want you to start queuing up here. There's a particular spot, Faisal. Just start queuing up there while we go through the last two or three. Quick response, Ghalib, then I'm going to still do through the Alliance and Independent Canada. Quick response.
Respond on the question of religion. We are a party.
Supporters, not now. Let us first take the neutral people, then we'll allow for supporters to ask questions later. Carry on, Ghalib.
We are a party that is based on the rule of law. There are bylaws, there are laws which we need to universally uphold, and that we'll do. Irrespective of whether it's a temple, a mosque, a church or whatever, we will do so. Secondly, to talk about ethnic cleansing is a very serious and stupid statement to make. People in the Boer Kaap can sell their properties if they want to. That is their prerogative. I have lived in the Boer Kaap myself. People have sold around me, and they've done well out of it. I would ask the ANC in response to ask themselves why the rand dropped 33% when they introduced their weekend special finance minister and four ministers in 4 days.
All right.
In addition to that, one second, I want the ANC to understand when they talk about Midval. Does he know Busisizwe Modisekeng? There, she said, give praise where praise is due. She is an ANC provincial executive member.
Thank you.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
All right. Can I just please? I said, you know, ordinary people from the audience first, candidates, people in party colors to the back of the queue. But, all right, quick response,
ANC. Can I just challenge? The mic is off. Khalif says that the DA policy is to follow the law. I want to challenge him.
Quiet, quiet.
In the instance of the city of Tshwane, where we were donating a site to the Muslim community to re-establish a mosque, where the DA refused to take a position on the matter, what law did we transgress? Because we went to a full sitting of council to have that donation approved.
Quiet.
The DA refused to...
The ANC ward councillor and the ANC component of the city of Tshwane voted alone.
All right.
Because the DA refused to vote with the ANC.
Truly Alliance.
Can I also challenge this notion about a member of the PA? I mean,
quiet, audience, quiet, please.
Okay. Members of the ANC are at liberty to say whatever they please about however they perceive things.
The reality
is the facts speak for themselves. The city of Cape Town, the 10 municipalities that was referred to as best practice municipalities, the purview of those municipalities from a single perspective of the finances.
Okay.
We know the spatial and geographical distortions.
Thank you.
Result
Thank
in you. That situation.
Right. Truly Alliance, you have 2 minutes to respond to whatever has been said by the candidates.
Yeah. Is it on? Okay. I'm actually lucky because I see everything that I've said thus far, nobody's answered any questions or disagree with what I said. So Truly Alliance obviously is a party that with the right answers. Now, another thing I'd like to say, when it comes to the ANC, they said that they wanted to test the constitution. What they basically wanted to do is test the courts to see how much they can get away with. And when we speak of the DA, you mentioned that there's no corruption in your party. As I said earlier on, your party members took money from people in the Nature South, promising them homes, and no money was given to them, and no homes were given to them. So like you tell the ANC, pay back the money. When it comes to the EFF, for once I actually have to agree with you. The ANC has been 22 years in power and has done nothing for the people. A change is needed. And I don't want to waste a lot of time because I'm more interested in knowing what the people want from us. And that's why I'm going to wait for their questions now.
Okay, thank you. And all right. Finally, independent candidate, Mohammed Azad Bulbulia, your 2 minutes to respond to whatever has been said by the various candidates on the table.
I'm here not to paint any bad or bleak pictures about the ruling party or the DA that's been running our ward for the last 5 years. Everybody knows the proven fact that we, as the independent candidates, have been filling their shoes for them, and it's about time that we remove them and do what we have to do best. We are doing all the work. Like you mentioned, you alluded to the fact earlier that there's plus minus 30 protests a day. The ruling party talks about technology in the city of Johannesburg, but the basic services like lights, water, sanitation, if you look at the informal settlements, now it seems like it's coming into the formal settlements as well. On a daily basis, you get close to 20 or 30 households that don't have electricity. And in recent months, it seems like the ruling party or the people that working for the ruling party are trying all their efforts to stop us from doing what we do for the people of Lanesia. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. People, I'm going to humbly ask you, right?
We're coming to the main part because this is where, this is what democracy is all about, the voice of the people. Please maintain silence. Please maintain silence so we can hear their question and we can hear the responses. I'm going to ask all those who are asking questions. The queue is very long and we don't have too much of time. It's a live broadcast both on ITV as well as Radio Islam. Do not go into lengthy comments. It's one question per person and try and put your question in 30 seconds. I'll take a few questions at a time and then we'll get responses. Just come up and if you want to introduce yourself, do so and ask your question quickly. Just take a note.
Hello. Yeah, my question is to Mr. Kachalia. Local government is also about good leadership. So I want to pose a question directly to you, sir. In an article of Charlie Hepburn, you stated that you are a wine-drinking, pork-eating Muslim. Can I ask you to please state yes or no?
My personal beliefs and my personal actions have no bearing on anything to do with my politics. What I say in terms of a response to an atrocity, I will stand by. But I will not be interrogated on my person.
Next question.
My name is Ayub Mehta. My question is to Azhar Bulbulia. You know, there's a very good saying, seeing is believing, hearing is deceiving. The ANC has let us down, so has the GA. My confidence is with your party, and I've seen the results in the last couple of months that your party have done for the residents of Lanesia. So I give you my vote, and I'm sure a lot of votes for Lanesia. But please don't let us down, and I know we are confident behind you. Thank you.
Thank you for that, and thank you for the confidence that you're showing in us. It's a proven fact. I'll just allude to something quiet that came to my mind is the electrification of Kimberley. When it was announced, we were all in shock because we thought somebody is going to die. And I told my wife, did we get a funeral message? She says, no, why? I said, because we as active citizenry, I'm the leader of, or the chairperson, petitioned the city whip, the chief city whip, and the city of Johannesburg to electrify Kimberley. I was told by the party leadership in one of the meetings directly, Mr. Bulbulia, over my dead body, will we provide services to any informal settlements? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm asking DA, please practice what you preach. Because now, you only we see from you, you criticize only ANC. But any action you do on the ground, I didn't see nothing. I was in a DA for 3 years. Only you people go around campaigning. But you talk about 70% for the Cape Town, for the poor people. I'm asking you now, how much the advertising costs you in Lanesia around, as you didn't give any opportunity to a small party to put his poster. You got every ball, you got 3 poster. How much it costs you, and how much you give the poor people in Lanesia, and what you do in the ground in Ward 9. Thank you.
Thank you.
In answer to that, it's very simple. The ANC has recently boasted that it spent 1 billion rand on its campaign. I don't know, I don't have the facts as to how much we have spent, but I can tell you in my campaign, I can tell you that my campaign is run modestly on monies that I have raised from friends, family, and people who believe in what I stand for. That is what I have done.
Okay. Well done, people. The questions are going quickly and smoothly. Keep it up. Let's go.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Farad. My question to the EFF is, you guys seem to be making some big strides. What are you guys going to do about making jobs available for the people of South Africa?
Thank
Thank you very much for the question. I think it is only the EFF governed municipalities that would be able to create the much needed jobs that are required in our municipalities. First and foremost, we'll be building local state capacity, in other words, services such as refuse collection, cleaning the streets will not be outsourced, we'll employ people directly. In addition to that, we'll be giving far more meaningful jobs other than these EPWP jobs, because if anyone tells me an EPWP is a job, then it's like saying that littering is job creation, because that's all they do, they sweep up dirt. We will be creating real jobs, building capacity to also construct roads, to build our own houses, not being outsourced to contractors to build our houses or to construct our roads or to maintain our roads. The local state will have the capacity to build its own homes. We will be employing people and giving them the skills to do construction. So they would also be able to apply those skills in constructing roads and maintaining the
Thank
roads.
Thank you. Long answer. No. Question.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening to the presenters and the panel. My questions will center around for the ANC, the DA, the AFF, and for Al Jamaa. I'll start off with the ANC.
No, one question.
One question.
One question per person.
Okay. Regarding the DA, in the time in which we're living in, considering that we are living in a time where we're having resurgent black consciousness, why are you coming across as if you are constantly trying to safeguard white privilege? Thank you.
Thank you. Khalib, you're popular tonight, huh? They're asking the questions mostly to you.
I heard the question loud and clear, but frankly, it's the most ridiculous question I've heard this evening, apart from personal digs. We do not support white privilege. In fact, our policy on redress, which is necessary in this country, is a remarkable policy which goes a long way to creating redress for the historically disadvantaged. Furthermore, unlike the ANC here, who has tabled an amendment to a bill in Parliament to say that Indians and coloureds who apply for tenders under 10 million rand will not be eligible to BEE points. That is discrimination. We do not discriminate. We believe in redress. Our policies are cogent in terms of redress, and we stand up for the rights of all.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Next question.
My name is Moses. I'm sorry. African National Congress, you have disillusioned the masses of this country. We have sold the people of this country. You didn't even say thanks because of you bring us from exile and from a prison. What you are telling us in front of us today is a lie. But at the same time, I need to tell the EAFF, Malema cannot be trusted because of he was part and parcel of the people who have been campaigned. Let me pose the question straight. I need to ask a question to Congress of the People. Congress of the People, how are you going to manage the finances that is going to be controlled and benefited the people on the ground? Those are maybe if we win this award.
Thank you. Go.
As soon as there's funds that are available, the policy of COPE is very loud and clear by saying we will consult the community in making sure what is their preference, what do they want to see first, how do they want to see that. There will be constant consultation, you know, whenever it comes to this. But again, I want to address one issue. You know, this time we're voting for local elections. We're not voting for national elections where people are speaking of taking land and all those things. That is not the issue. We will continue to consult the community in making sure that when we address their priorities, we will come to an agreement in whatever needs to be built. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Zahira Bayat. I'm a community activist within Linasia.
the vision being women empowerment. The question is to the DA, Mr. Kachalia. I would like to know what exactly are you people doing to ensure sustainability within our communities in terms of women, and how do we work together as a collective? I would also like to know what are you doing to bridge the gap between us and government?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would say with my hand on our heart that the DA's policy on women, not just women, on lesbian, transgender, LGBTI people in general, is the most progressive and solid policy that has been put forward. Unlike the ANC, which voted against an LGBTI vote in the security at the UN, not the Security Council. Now, we champion the cause of women in our party. We had, it's no secret that our party was led by a woman, but that's neither here nor there. All over the world you get good and bad women, but I think we had a good one. In addition to that, we ensure that there is absolute parity when it comes to dealing with people, whether it be on the ground of race or gender. That is in our indelibly written in ink,
okay,
in our constitution.
Next question. Next question.
My name is Johannes Musetla, and I would like to pose my question to Commissar Nazir Paulsen. Since you have realized, Commissar Nazir, that the DA and the ANC are sleeping with each other in enslaving our workers in the country by these programs of EPWP and the other funny ones, also wasting money on building bicycle lanes. The DA has just announced yesterday that they're going also to build bicycle lanes for bicycles which are not there. How are you going to pass bylaws and give our people sustainable jobs within our municipalities?
Thank you.
As far as the EPWP programs are concerned,
the question was to the EFF.
Oh.
The question was to me, unless you've changed again from ANC to DA to EFF.
I've never changed. You may change. This gentleman's not for turning.
Go ahead, Nazir, quickly.
Thank you very much. Yes. Yes, it is.
Silence.
Go ahead. Just like in Johannesburg, also in Cape Town, where there's unemployment, where there's homelessness, you have a municipality that prefers to build bicycle lanes. You know why? It's because when the rich people say we're paying rates and taxes, what are you giving us? Then the municipality decides, wait, you've got a nice road, let us dig up this road and put a new road again. And in the meantime, in the informal settlements, there's no proper services, there's no proper sanitation, there's no proper street collection or anything like that. There's not even streets. So we as the EFF says, we are not going to prioritize bicycle lanes. We are going to prioritize providing people essential services, housing, creating employment and job opportunities for our people through providing those services. We will insource service provision. We will not outsource it to contractors.
All right. Look, people, we don't have much time, right, because we're going to try and conclude by 10 o'clock, and we've got quite a bit of line. So I'm going to ask you people to be very brief, and I'm going to ask the answers also to be very brief, because we've still got to do a quick conclusion. Your question.
My question's for the DA. The city of Johannesburg currently has a twin city agreement between Johannesburg and the city of Jerusalem. Now, the thing is, let's say the DA happens to take over. Are your Zionist benefactors going to allow you to continue that relationship? And secondly, I'd like to know, all DA leaders go for a pilgrimage to Israel for Zionist conditioning.
Thank you.
When is your trip?
In the first instance, Let me say, for the first time agreeing with my colleague on my right here, is that the ANC policy and the DA policy on Israel differs not one jot. We agree 100%. It's exactly the same. It is exactly the same.
Okay. Thank you.
I can read you, chap. No. Sit down. Sit down.
Thank you. Thank you. Let him speak. Thank you.
You asked your question. I'm answering it.
Thank you.
I heard your question. Keep quiet.
Now, thank you. Please.
Now, as far as Zionist funding is concerned, we accept funds from a plethora of people, as does the ANC. We provide no favor to anybody who provides funds. I don't even know, apart from the funds I've collected myself, who the major benefactors are. Secondly, in terms of twinnings of cities, when we win power in Tshwane, Nelson Mandela Bay, Johannesburg and Ekurhuleni, I'll tell you who we twin with. You'll be surprised, my friend.
Okay, thank you. Next question.
Hello.
Next question.
My name is Christine. My question is for the ANC. Promises that have never been filled. I was a candidate and I worked very hard and I'm still staying where I'm staying. And my place is very bad, but it never seems to come to an end. When you ask them, they say, I don't know. I'm not the person. You mustn't ask me. It's not right. A question is a question. People, your ANC, you need to fulfill your people's promises. Your people's service delivery is very bad.
Thank you. Suresh?
You know, across the province, without fail, in all of the municipalities, the three metros and the district councils here, the levels of basic services have increased incrementally since the census of 2000, the census of 2011, the community survey, and the two quality of life surveys that we've had over the past 5 years. So it's not factual. It is not factual to suggest that nothing has changed in Gauteng. The quality of life of the average citizen has increased exponentially in this province under the leadership of the ANC. That is not to say that there are communities that continue to be challenged with the provision of services, with the location of informal settlements, and this is the program that the ANC will continue to take forward in the new administration.
Thank you.
And that's the plan that we put together that is a reflection in our
ministry. Thank you. Next question.
My question is for EFF, ANC, and DA.
No, one question.
One question. It goes for all three or three parties.
Choose one.
Why haven't you served us yet? Where's the proof? Here we standing. He's done once now. Where's the proof? No service delivery. None. Yeah. All I say is stay true. True alliance.
Okay. Next question.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. This question is for the ANC. You want our votes in that. But a simple example is the STEF project. I presume you do know the STEF project. What's the STEF project? The STEF project.
Quiet.
STEF project. You do know what it is? The scholar taxi exchange thing. Surprising, only after I spelled it out yourself. What I want to know is what is the ANC doing? The thing is, because the RD, the region GRD manager, said in the meeting that, you know what, there was only 17 people from Lanesia in the meeting and they had given the go-ahead for the project. And they ignored the whole of the community of Lanesia. Is that fair on the community of Lanesia? And why is it that the community of Lanesia have to take out the court interdict against this facility?
Okay. Thank you. Suresh, quick answer.
Well, let me just say that what is being suggested there is not a taxi facility. It's a facility that's meant to make it easier for school children to get to and from school. That's the first point. The second point is that the ANC-led administration in the city of Johannesburg has agreed that given the grievance expressed by the community here, that they will hold the decision to proceed with the development. They will engage the community and they will re-engage the community, and on the basis of that engagement will make a determination about how we move forward on
okay,
that project.
Okay, thank you. Next question.
Thank you, sir. My question is going to EFF. It's about the hate speech posted on the Facebook by Thabo Mabotja, being a ward candidate, year ward 7, Etswana. He said, all white people must be hanged and killed. I just want to know from the EFF if maybe the EFF can take over the city of Johannesburg, or maybe can run the country. How will other people survive under the leadership of the EFF?
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Right, Nazir.
Firstly, as the economic freedom fighters...
Quiet.
As the economic freedom fighters, we are opposed to violence, and we are opposed to violence, especially towards whites. And if someone is found guilty of posting something like that and inciting violence towards anyone, be it white or black, we would take harsh steps okay. against someone like that. We do not propagate violence. We do not encourage.
Thank you. Thank you. Question?
My question is to the DA. You have a policy where you will remove non-performing councillors. You have one ward in Lanesha, and your councillor has been non-performing, and on various public meetings held by the DA, was asked...
Quiet.
The DA, your leader, was at the meeting, and the DA was asked to remove Councillor Benny Abdiya. They did not do this.
Thank you.
What guarantee do we have that you will do that should your DA win any ward in the nation, because you haven't done it for us previously?
Thank you. Quiet. All right. Thank you. Let him respond. People, we're wasting time like this. Let him respond.
I can only say that of all the parties in South Africa, we have the most cogent performance management system. I am witness to that in Ekurhuleni. I unfortunately am not privy.
Quiet.
You, sir, must keep quiet. I am privy to what happens in Ekurhuleni. I am not privy to what's happened here. I am very pleased you brought this up. I will personally take note of it, and if you give, and this is democracy, if you give me your name, I will report back to you.
Thank you. Please. Okay. Look, we've had a good meeting. We've had a good debate. Let's not spoil it towards the end. Let's not scream while any candidate is responding. We are really badly out of time. So what I'm going to do is we're going to just take the remaining questions, and then I'm going to ask the candidates to touch on it if it's relevant to them in their closing remarks. Let's go quickly through the questions. Please, 30 seconds each.
Good evening. My name is Patrick. And my question is going to Cope. I just want to ask the Cope candidate, because they have been talking about consulting people. If I remember very well, COP leader Musiwale Kota, just before he left ANC, he had just failed the community of Carltonville with regards to demarcation issues that they had. He did not go there to consult the people. He went there to tell the people that they should remain in Northwest. So how COP is going to be able to consult the people, because they failed in consultation.
Okay. Thank you. Next question. Ah, young man, welcome.
We want to ask the DA that how can they take money from apartheid Israel?
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Next question, next question, next question.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Cornelius Butelezi.
Let's respect the person asking the question. Quiet.
Thank you. My name is Cornelius Butelezi. Then fine. The question goes straight to the ANC. I've got a problem that in a period of 22 years, I've been sitting at home, unemployed. I've got 4 kids. I've got 4 grandchildren. Then, but now when I'm getting to try and get the job, the ANC says it employs between the age of 18 and 35 years, and of which now I'm at the age of 47 years. So what I look to understand is that what should I look for a living? For a living, for my kids, what do I've got to do?
Okay. Thank you. Next question. Let's keep it quick, people, and no new people in the queue now. We're just going to finish this up.
Thank you very much. My name is Silo Maponya. My question is directed to the incoming government, EFF. So my question is...
Quiet.
The South Africans need to be told that freedom comes in 3 layers. We've got political freedom, we've got economic freedom, we've got security freedom. So in South Africa today, we've got only political freedom in 22 years. So we don't have complete freedom. So what is the EFF going to do to make sure that the people of this country realize a total freedom in this country?
Thank you. Next question.
Fadil Hassan. Question to the EFF. We've got 51.8 million people in South Africa. The economically active people, 26% of the youth are unemployed. I believe the EFF is the fastest growing party in history, in South African political history. What will the EFF do to create job employment specifically for the youth market?
Thank you. Next question.
My name is Moses Tebola. I will pose my question to EFF candidate. I just want to know and understand what kind of mechanism are you going to use to eradicate informal settlement?
Thank you. Next question.
Assalamu alaikum and good evening to people from different affiliations. My question is to the DA with Mr. Kachalia, the famous one representing them. You've used your opportunity for 2 minutes to tell us why you left. You told us how you are so good in certain municipalities by giving people water, lights, etc. That isn't good enough for me, because those are basic needs that everyone should have, not accomplishments. And there's no inclusiveness in the DA. You told us there is. But tell me, why in Parliament are there so many whites while there are so many black supporters here? Why are they not represented?
Thank you. Chief, are you by any chance Mbuyiseni's brother?
No.
No, you look very much like him. Anyway, ask your question.
Thank you very much. My name is Abu Bakr. My question will go to Mr. Kachalia. In terms of the principal, he said we can never interrogate his personal life when he's a Muslim who eats pork and drinks liquor. However, how is he anticipating that the voters should trust him on the basis of principle. Because if he violates his principles, how is he going to maintain that trust to his supporters?
Thank you. And then, thank you. Next question. Next question.
My name, I'm Rulani Mathebo.
Quiet, please. Quiet. Silence. Silence. Go ahead.
My name, I'm Rulani Mathebula. My question to the ANC candidate. Why don't you resign from ANC and join EFF? Because 22 years talking about Freedom Charter, which has been implemented in 1959. And the Freedom Charter, and the EFF is ready to show you what the meaning of Freedom Charter by giving the land to the people, privatizing their mines, banks, and the big industry.
Thank you.
My name is Kajola. My question goes to ANC. Most of the time when you put the candidates, you put old people first, but you forgot about youth. I didn't see a youth who shall be elected in those structure. Most is the old people who have been admitted in the hospital and get out as soon. Please, please try and to include youth so that you can reach the possibility of building South Africa.
Thank you. And our last question for this evening. You're not giving khutbah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sakbonani. Unjani. Alhamdulillah. Very straightforward. My stick is straight, I talk straight. Everybody is after this. Everybody is after this. All the parties are after this. All the parties are after this. Bafuna law. Bafuna law.
Okay.
My party, Bafuna law.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mali.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Can we settle down? Settle down. People. You don't want me to start singing now, do you? Because then you'll all run. Settle down. Please settle down. We're almost done. DA supporters, EFF supporters, take your seats. We appreciate that you've come out here in your numbers. We just now have the concluding remarks. Because we've already passed the time of 10 o'clock, we're just going to allow each candidate a minute to wrap up and they can say what they want to respond to whatever was mentioned in the last few questions, and then we will terminate. So we'll start in that same order with the ANC. The 1 minute starts now. Concluding remarks.
Well, I think the ANC continues on a path of building an inclusive economy. I want to make a point about EPWP.
Silence, people. Let's hear the concluding remarks. Silence.
EPWP is the response to the immediacy of the problem of unemployment. The ANC has never said that it's a job creation program, and that's why the only sustainable and enduring solution to our problem is in education, in strengthening our educational outcomes, in building an inclusive economy. And the way you do that is to build strong municipalities, because municipalities are the backbone of our economies. We must invest in making them resilient. We must invest in making them diverse, and we must invest in building, in creating infrastructure for growth in these municipalities. The ANC manifesto is a plan to do that, and that's why we're calling upon communities to put their vote behind the tried and tested leadership of the ANC in the election on the 3rd of August.
Thank you. TA. 1 minute. And your concluding remarks. You got 1 minute to conclude, to answer the questions, to conclude. Whatever you want to choose.
I'll answer the questions very briefly. On the question of Israel, we take donations from organizations and people locally and internationally, but what we do is provide no favor for any donation. On the subject of Palestine, it is a matter of public record that I have championed the Palestinian cause all my life. I agree with the man on basic needs. In Parliament, we have a diverse crowd. At MPL level and at province we are diverse, and at council we are diverse. At membership we are diverse, and our activists are diverse. We are the most diverse party in the country. As regards
As regards the most repugnant question that was asked, my principles, my relationship with my God is mine and mine alone. I will answer to my God and not to hypocrites with an agenda.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, no, take your seat, brother. Take your seat, take your seat, take your seat. Take your seat. Take your seat, brother. Take your seat. Right, EFF, your concluding remarks. Please, let's just... No, brother, I'm gonna ask you to leave. I'm gonna ask you to leave. Thank you. EFF, concluding remarks. Brother, can you please leave the hall? Can you please leave the hall? Thank you. Thank you. EFF.
Shukran Maulana. Just to wrap up and also to respond to the two questions, which is actually very much the same. In terms of economic freedom, in terms of job creation for the youth, South Africa has the highest unemployment rate in the world. The majority of the unemployed are youth, males and females. And as the EFF...
Quiet!
And as the EFF... The EFF run municipalities, as I've stated earlier, would play a direct role in stimulating the economy by first and foremost insourcing most of the work so that we could create more jobs, provide better skills, that we could also participate in the delivery of houses, the construction and maintenance of roads, and we'll employ youth where we provide them with the skills to perform these functions. In addition to that, we will also participate in other sectors in terms of agriculture, whereby
time up,
we'd like
time up. Let's go to Cope. Must I say this to you? We are not a threat to anybody. We are not in government. We don't have the right of fiscus. You have a choice of choosing the party that is quiet, looking at the interests of every individual. Color, race, gender, we are stable. South Africans, Cope is firm, Cope is ready to lead, Cope is ready to run with the government. For the fact that Musua Lekota has decided after the Concord has said Jacob Zuma is no more, has actually failed to uphold the Concord. Musua Lekota walked out immediately, whereby he doesn't regard him as the president of the country. So we are saying to you, vote for Cope. Cope is stable. Cope is very quiet. Cope is not a threat to anybody. Cope doesn't come to take anything because we follow the rules and uphold and make sure that the constitution of the country stays the same. Thank you.
Thank you.
Al-Jamaa.
Al-Jamaa is saying voters must become guardians of the vote, of their interests and values. Otherwise, power-hungry and money-hungry politicians will overshadow and devour your vote. 22 years on, we gained our freedom. Now we lost our freedom by not determining our destinies, by failing in political decision-making as we lost ourselves in money-making and merry-making. Al-Jamaa is saying that voters need to be heard and not hurt. And that's why we are asking, that we are not merely asking to win your vote, but we are saying, together, let's do what's best for your vote. We don't want to walk in front of you. We don't want you to walk behind us. And we don't want to walk ahead of you at any time. We are saying, hold our hands and walk with us side by side. And our accreditations that we have achieved to date speaks volumes for
itself. Thank you. Thank you. Truly, Alliance.
It's clear listening from everybody today, they're unhappy with the DA and how they've run our area. ANC, well, everybody knows about them. They corrupt. Is enough for people. You need to open your eyes and see that, you know what, we are here not for who's going to govern the country, but for municipal reasons. We want to see, for the best purpose of the people, is better service deliveries. And if you listen to the other parties, it's only about who wants to govern. This is about better service deliveries, and Truly Alliance is here to ensure that happens for the people.
Thank you. And finally, Mohammed Azhar Bulbulia, independent candidate.
I'd like to start with a quote by Nelson Mandela. He says, if the current government does what the apartheid government does to you, you should remove them. That's why the people must vote for the people that will do the change for them. And we as the people, the independent candidates, not only in Lanesia, but we have an independent caucus of over 30 councillors standing all over in the city of Johannesburg. Together, we, when I say we, it's the people and the Independent Coalition for Change will make this change for you. Our promise is to you, or my promise rather to you, is if I don't deliver within 36 months, you are more than welcome, I will resign. Not like the other parties, false promises, where they say they will take the necessary steps. Nothing has been done thus far.
Okay.
So take my word, I'm willing to sign any paper or any pledge stating whatever the community wants. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We are out of time, so I'm going to take this opportunity to thank all of the candidates without making their names mentioned, or all of the representatives of the parties. To all those who came in attendance, thank you very much. To my colleague Mufti Yusuf Musaji, and to the listeners of Radio Islam International and the viewers of ITV, we'll be with you in Cape Town on Wednesday night, the 27th, between 8 and 10, during a similar type of debate at the Islamia College. And next week, Sunday, at Al Ansar in Durban, in the afternoon, 1:30 to 3:30, that's the 31st. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and good evening.